Right, let's go back to our earlier story, and this is on the changes that the government is making to MIQ. Basically, what they're going to do is cluster returnees together. Now, under the new rules, people arriving within 96 hours in this window, they'll be taken to the same hotel, right? When that hotel fills up, or the time period clicks over from the 96 hours, they'll lock down the hotel. Nobody leaves there until the last person completes their... nobody goes in, rather, until the last person completes their managed isolation. So, to discuss these changes, we're joined now by Professor Kurt Krause, who's an infectious disease physician, and he also teaches biochemistry at the University of Otago. Professor, this cohorting, as they call it, is based on your time of arrival, right? Do you think that's the best way to do it?
Okay, well, it's a compromise, right? I mean, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little bit nervous about opening travel up to a country that has a severe problem with COVID. And I think it's a little scary probably for everybody, but it's also a bit of a compromise. I mean, we know we've got New Zealand citizens who need to come back and we can't keep them out indefinitely. So I think it's actually pretty clever because it's cohorting the group of people who have arrived at the same time together. It minimizes the crosstalk from them to other people who they might encounter if there's people leaving and coming in constantly during their stay, and then they kind of leave together. So I think it's a clever compromise to solution to what is a really difficult problem, because the other alternative is we just sort of close the doors completely.
The thing is, though, you are putting people together who could arrive from, well, they're arriving from these very high-risk countries. Let's just use India as the example. So a plane comes in from India, right? And you get someone else flying in from Singapore or someone else flying in from London at the same time. Yeah. All those people are grouped together. Would the best-case scenario be grouping only high-risk arrivals together?
Yes.
And keeping other countries separate?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the cons, so the pro, as I mentioned, it restricts the risk to a cohort that's arriving about the same time. The con is, if you're coming from a low-risk country, you're almost certainly going to be exposed to, or you're more likely to be exposed to somebody who actually has COVID. So it's tricky, right? Because do you have enough planes coming from India where you can fill up just hotels from people from India, hotels of people from Pakistan? I don't think so, and the logistics of that would be a bit of a nightmare. So I think you put people on notice that when you're here, you want to be really careful about social distancing, wearing your mask, doing everything that you can to make sure you minimize risk. One thing they could consider doing, well, there are two things I wondered about. I wondered, this is a big change, would it make sense to roll it out and trial it for 2 weeks before opening up the border? That was an idea that I had.
You mean trial the whole concept of cohorting without arrivals from these high-risk countries?
Right.
Your procedures first.
Yeah. Well, we've seen, a frequent thing that we've seen is something goes on at MIQ, it's a new idea, and then after a few weeks, we realize there's some fish hooks that we hadn't envisaged, right? So if you try it first, then you're going to sort those fish hooks out. So that's one thing that I thought. And the other thing that I'm wondering about is whether it would make sense to for people to be somewhat more restricted in terms of whether they need, not sure about restricting them to their room, but a little more interaction restriction until they get that third day test.
So the rules around that in the moment, day zero, you got to stay in your room. Day one, day zero test until you get the result. After that, you're free to move around. And the minister today doesn't seem to have any plans to change that. And no staying in your room at the day 12 test either. Exercise is still on the cards. Smoke breaks still on the cards. And there doesn't seem to be a commitment to getting rid of bus rides to exercise as well. Are you comfortable with keeping that regime as it is?
Like, I think it's sort of a line. I'm sorry, my screen froze, and now I'm talking to you on my telephone. I don't know if it's...
No problem. I've got you, Professor. Great. So there's no real plans to change that regime in MIQ around exercise, allowing people to have smoke breaks, or even busing to other locations to have a walkabout. I mean, are you comfortable with that, or would you go a bit further?
Yeah, if it were, it's an interesting question, because if I were in charge and I was, you know, could snap my fingers, I would say, let's vaccinate the entire population. You know, you look at the United States, which had a very difficult period last year. Now they're vaccinating 3 million people a day. I'd like to get 2 days of that, please, and then have New Zealand completely taken care of. Given that we can't do that, we've got compromises, and I think this is a fair and reasonable compromise. We know that that masks and hand hygiene and social distancing are good. We know that these PCR tests are very effective. So I guess I'm cautiously optimistic that it's going to work and we're not going to see a problem. But let's just be really, really careful during this period, because we're actually in an incredibly good position in New Zealand, right? We don't have any transmission in the community, and we know that it's just a border incursion away, and we know that it grows exponentially. So whatever we do, we don't want to lose this advantage that we have. And having said all that and being cautious, I'm pretty happy with what the government's put in place.
Right. So in terms of that, being cautious, the four countries that have been classified as very high risk, Pakistan, PNG, Brazil and India, are those the countries that you would have chosen?
Yes, I think so. In terms of the degree of acceleration and what's going on with their number of daily cases, they're quite high. The absolute numbers in PNG are not that high, but the numbers in India are shockingly high. The slope of the increase in cases each day in India is just really quite remarkable. It's also true that India has a new variant that you may have heard. It's 617-618, which came out of West Bengal, which seemed to combine some of the changes we've seen in the UK variant and some that we've seen in the South African variant and in the Brazil variant. So the virus is continuing to mutate, which viruses do. They change when they're under selection pressure. The virus continues to change and becomes more likely to be transmitted. And this will go on until the pandemic begins to diminish.
Are there any other countries that you would add to that very high risk list?
It's a tough one. Not right now. I mean, France has had an increased outbreak, but those numbers are settling down, and same with Italy. UK is looking kind of good. I think you just have to be vigilant and watch the numbers, and the whole situation is very fluid.
Appreciate you joining us this evening. That is Professor Kurt Krause, who's an infectious disease physician.